Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the sea shore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. And then Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And then, again, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 tells us these words, these simple words that we know, "You shall not murder." And then finally, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12, "Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Surely we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each one according to his deeds?" Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for how that as we open your word, we're getting a chance to have a one-on-one appointment with you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for how that as we read your word, you're speaking words of life, words of blessing, words of guidance, words of empowerment, words of wisdom and insight that help us to walk according to your work and your will, and that help us to fulfill the God-ordained destiny you've placed before us. Help us to be a people that are listening to you, obeying you, and following you on our journey of life, knowing that you are the key to all of life. You're the key to what we're in this world for, and our job is to simply follow you. Thank you, and we praise you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you and we now acknowledge that we deserve to be cast away from you, but yet you seek a relationship with us, Father. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, we rejoice in that today. We're thankful for that today, and it humbles us, Father. We want to live for you more and more. We want to show appreciation to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Want to remind you once again, Law Enforcement Appreciation Day is Sunday, June the 13th. The American Family Association invites you to join lots and lots of other Americans in a day of prayer and appreciation for those who serve in law enforcement. Again, the day is Sunday, June the 13th. It's a chance for us to show respect and appreciation and honor towards those who bravely serve and protect us, our communities, and our families. Too many times they're taken for granted. Let them know that you believe in the importance and the critical place their work plays in our community and in our world. One of the ways that we can express that appreciation is the next time you see a police officer in a restaurant, pay for their lunch or their dinner. Ask them how you can pray for them as well. And of course, on a daily basis, we're wise to pray for God to protect them, to bless them, and to use them. We encourage you to go to get more information to visit afa.net. And there you can find some helpful resources. And please add your name to thousands of others that are committed to praying for our law enforcement officers on Sunday, June the 13th. Again, that website is afa.net. Again, thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We are honored and blessed to have with us a guest that we've had on many years ago, but we're grateful to have her back again. Our phone guest today is Akusia Frimpong, a servant of the Lord and a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Akusia, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, great to have you. Again, it's been quite a few years since you were with us last, so we're grateful to have you back. And we're grateful to have you. You have such a powerful witness and story in your journey with the Lord. And I'm going to ask if you'll take time just to introduce yourself, and then I want to give you the chance to dive right in to share your powerful story and the journey that the Lord has had you on.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph, for having me on this broadcast today. What an amazing privilege to be back.
Okay.
I'd like to first read a text from Psalm 139.
Okay.
From 13 to 17. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Indeed." We thank God for the reading of the word. His word is true, and his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So I pray that resonates with somebody listening to my testimony today. My story begins from Ghana, West Africa. Even though I am speaking from the state of Maryland today, I actually was born in Ghana, West Africa, in a small town in the western region called Axim. And the time when my mother was, conceived or was found to be pregnant, she was 17 years old. And at 17 years old, I have imagined her life. You know, and have as a mother now, I've had to even reimagine that story. Being pregnant at 17, what would be her thoughts? And I'm sure her first thoughts were not, oh, what color theme baby shower she was going to have, or her hopes or high aspirations would be, or what kind of gender her child would be. But at 17, and coming from the very background that she comes from, which, was much difficulty. She lived even with her grandmother at that time due to the nature or the difficulties that family was going through at that time between her own mother and her father, as being that her mother was not well. And she was the sole breadwinner for the family. And so due to lack, she had to go live with her grandmother. And Now she is pregnant on top of the whole difficulties that is already present. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm getting rid of the baby was, you know, her next move. Mm-hmm. And so even I remember having a conversation with her when I was a teenager, and she you know, shared with me how she wanted by all means to get rid of the pregnancy, and she would do very difficult tasks that a pregnant woman is not supposed to do, like lift very heavy weight mm-hmm. in hopes that the fetus will pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually even attempted abortion that did not even, how would I say it, that was not successful. Mm-hmm. But by the grace of God that I was born full term. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I say this to the glory of God, that God saved my life, even though there were several attempts of abortion on my life. Mm-hmm. And this is not even in looking, you know, at my mom as a bad person or anything. It's just really the circumstances surrounding her life at the time. And, mm-hmm. you know, who knows what anybody else would do if, you know, they were in her shoes at the time. But mm-hmm. glory be to God that he saved me even in all those difficulties.
Right. Well, so you're saying more than once she did attempt to have abortion, to abort you, but you survived by the grace of God.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, that was the hand of God protecting and shielding you. Praise God for that. So, but go right ahead, though.
So then, after where I was born, my maternal grandmother passed. So my mother, who was still young at the time, had to, you know, go live with another family member. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the discussion was, but I ended up with my aunt, who is my mother's eldest sister. Mm-hmm. And the living condition and situation was very difficult, such that as early as 5 years old, I remember her trade was she used to make pastries. Mm-hmm. And so she would make pastries and have me go sell. And early in the morning, I was not in school. I hoped to go to school. I attend school. So every time I would see other children going to school or coming from school, I really wanted to be like them, that mm-hmm. I didn't have that privilege mm-hmm. because my aunt decided that I would sell for her. So for her, I was a great help. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel like I didn't have the opportunity to experience that childhood, you know. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, just grew up having to work. Mm-hmm. And that such was the nature of our livelihood. I was not introduced to church as a child, mm-hmm. But I knew a lot of people that went to church in the area.
We're coming up on a break, Akusia, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Akusia Frimpong. She's a faithful servant of the Lord, and she's sharing a powerful witness story today. We'll be right back.
Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near. Brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm. Yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless. Yeah, protects me from my harm.
Music from the Walls Group, All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Akusia Frimpong. She's a faithful servant of the Lord, and she's sharing a very powerful testimony. Akusia, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask you if you'll pray for our listeners. Pray that the Lord would help them to have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit would want to say to them as you share your journey with the Lord.
So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send this word as a seed to our listeners today and also beyond, the days ahead and even years beyond, that when they hear this testimony, Father, that it would just go forth as a seed to do the work that you have ordained it to do and in the those that in the hearers' heart and also in their lives, in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Okay, so if you'll pick up where you left off, you were sharing about the fact that you wanted to go to school, but you were having to work even as a very young child.
Yes. So two things I always wanted and always wanted to do was to go to school and also to church. Because on Sundays, I would see some of the children with their parents. They would be dressed up nicely. They wore their clothes. Nice clothes, and then they had their socks with ruffles and shoes on. And I wanted to be that child in a family and also loved and cared for. I did not have that, but I always, you know, wanted that. So I would just really go fast forward into when I was 9 years old and I first, you know, had the opportunity to be enrolled in a school, and that was an amazing opportunity, because even that, I wasn't going to be accepted into that school because I had never been to school before, and it was, you know, considered a good school, and they expected me to know certain things, basics. At the age of 9, and I didn't know anything. I didn't even know how to write or spell my name.
So, the very first time that you got to go to school was at 9 years of age. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't long after that. I believe maybe the first or second semester, which in Ghana we have three semesters, because the weather doesn't change, so it's three semesters. We break the school into three semesters. So right after the second semester, which is somewhere in August, somewhere in June. Yeah, on June 4th. Yeah, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
June 4th, on the 4th of June, I had an accident. And that resulted in the loss of my leg. So I lost my leg, and I believe the fear for me was how society would accept me and how also I'm going to fare in society. Given that we didn't have amenities or even disability was not accepted, it's still even something that, you know, I mean, it's still society really looks at disability in a different way. Though they don't say it, they act it.
Mm-hmm.
But disability in our culture, you know, has been considered a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's because of the lack of education and also the fact that they, you know, I have not seen growing up with one leg, many people that had really broken barriers and are doing, you know, things that normal people would do, such as be married, be in a family, have family themselves, mm-hmm. have a good job, you know, have a quote unquote normal good life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was afraid for my life and for my future.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the greatest change came for me when I was 11 years old. And a Gideon actually came to our town and would give Bibles to all the children.
Mm-hmm.
And because maybe it was a long line, it was a lot of kids, I was asked to sit down. And so when, you know, to sit down, I guess, for my turn, wait for my turn.
Mm-hmm.
And when everything was said and done, the Bibles were gone. I didn't get anything. And I was very sad, and I felt left out again.
Mm-hmm.
So the man that was given, you know, we call him Ubroni, the white, you know, Ubroni means white man, that came to give out the Bibles at the time, would go into his own backpack and give me his very personal Bible, was orange at the time, and I was not going to have it. I wanted the exact same blue Bible he gave to all the other children.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want the orange Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was when he was, you know, marking it, and, you know, with the explanation, I understood that that was his piece, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I grew to like it because, well, different, but at that time, I wasn't having it. I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that was my very first personal Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was learning to read and write at the time,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really have my own personal book to read until maybe sometime after when I encountered some missionaries you know, continue to help me to grow in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 13, I had the opportunity to come to Nashville, Tennessee through some missionary friends to get a prosthesis. And, you know, after the treatment was done, I had to go back home. But I left with so much more than I came with, or so much more than a prosthesis, because at that time when they took me to church, I saw where they had children's youth church. They, you know, they let me go with my own age mate,
mm-hmm.
and I saw how the children, they had their own church service and everything, and it was like, I loved it. So I talked about it, and they asked me if I was a Christian. I didn't know what that meant. I thought, if you went to church, then I guess you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But they led me to the Lord, and I accepted, you know, the Lord into my life. And, you know, years down the line, I would also, you know, learn more about the Lord through the Word of God, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, developed so much,
mm-hmm.
and even desire to teach Him to, you know, people that, you know, whoever would listen. You know, I mean, I just love to talk about what I have learned,
mm-hmm.
or what revelation I was getting from my Bible reading.
So you were 13 years old when you received Christ then?
Yes.
And it was while you were visiting in the U.S. in Nashville, is that right?
Yes.
Okay then. Okay, go right ahead.
And I would say that, you know, when I accepted the Lord into my life, that was when I believe that things started changing for me, for the better, because then now I am God's own.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that even though the Lord, you know, was merciful towards me before I knew Him, but now it's become personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a lot of things you know, down the line in the years to come. But God delivered and saved me through it all. And I'm here to recommend Jesus for anybody listening to me who is not a believer or is wondering, you know, having the same thoughts about, you know, wondering what it's like. I just say it's the best decision that I have made, you know.
Okay. Well, I want to ask if you'll take a moment to pray. You know, you shared about your mother's situation, and she was at a difficult time when she happened to be carrying you in her womb. There might be persons listening today who might find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult or troubled time. And, of course, in your mom's case, she attempted, but by the grace of God, they were not able to carry through the abortion. And by God's grace, you were born. Praise the Lord for that. But there might be persons that are considering it in view of the fact that when one looks at your life and how that you're living for the Lord now, you're a living witness for Christ. Would you pray for those maybe some women that might be listening who find themselves pregnant right now and it's just a difficult time to be expecting a baby?
Yes. Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that woman. I'm praying for you right now. I pray that the Lord would just bring peace to your heart and rest for your soul. And I encourage anybody that is going through a situation right now to look to the Lord. I pray, Father, Heavenly Father, I pray. I'm sorry. I'm just emotional right now. But Heavenly Father, I pray for that mother, that young girl, or that woman that is going through a situation that of making a decision. You know, I pray, Father, for that single-mindedness to keep this child. I pray, Father, for provision. You know, and I pray that the fears will just be dismissed. I dismiss every fear of the unknown. And I pray that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding right this minute will come upon the heart of the expectant mother. And joy will begin to even well up in a place of uncertainty and in a place of fear and shame, and in a place of disappointment. I pray for hope to arise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kusia. At what age did you come from Ghana to the U.S. to live as an adult?
As an adult, wow. So I have an interesting story. When I was in college, I was 16 years old. One day I was coming from school. I was in high school. So it was quite a long walk from, you know, where the bus station drops off to my house, about a good 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So on my way home, I was praying. A thought came to me to pray to God. I believe that I had heard one of the preachers, we used to have some people come to our school to preach on Wednesdays, that you can talk to God. So I was like, really, I can talk to God?
Hmm.
So I decided on my way to the house, it's a long walk, so I used those times to pray to God. And when I started doing that, I couldn't stop. I would just get so much joy. And even though it was a long, hard walk for me, but I started to enjoy it, and I started even looking forward to that. It made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe with all my heart, it was when I was 16 years old, I was on one of those walks from home. I prayed to God, and I said, God, when I finish school, university, I want to go live in America, and I want to be a missionary.
mm-hmm.
And I just want to preach the gospel, just like the missionaries, when they come to Ghana, I just want to go to America, and I want to be a missionary in America. Hmm. And God did just that. When I completed college, the very day I finished school, I was on the plane to America.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I was on the plane to America.
Mm-hmm.
The very day, I don't know how, don't ask me how, God did it. Mm-hmm. The Lord opened the doors for me to come. And also, my biological father lives in California. So I decided, well, since I've never lived with my dad, I don't know him. I feel like I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, even though I've met my dad, I mean, I live with my dad's mom briefly, maybe for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to live with my dad. I wanted to have the fatherly love, the fatherly affection. I wanted that so bad. So I decided, okay, so I'm thinking, I'm making my plans. I'm going to live with my dad. I just want to get to know my dad, bond with him. And I want to continue my education, but I also want to be a missionary.
Okay, we're coming up on a break once more, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Akusia Frimpong, a servant of the Lord and a missionary to America. We'll be right back.
shed a tear that you cannot explain. Have you ever met a stranger who already knew your name? What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Music of Mandisa, God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Akusia Frimpong, a servant of the Lord and a missionary in the Kingdom of God. And she's been sharing her powerful testimony and the journey from West Africa to the U.S. So if you'll pick up where you left off there, Akusia.
Yes. And so I was sharing how my dreams and my hopes were that at the age of 16, that when I grew up, that is when I finished college, I want God to, you know, let me come to America and mm-hmm. stay here and become a missionary. But I also had another prayer that I would live with my dad for a bit, get to know him, mm-hmm. and, you know, bond with him some way, somehow, and go to school. But, mm-hmm. you know, God, he did just that. But, mm-hmm. you know, and then I had to actually also, you know, the Lord opened the doors for me to, you know, just go on and travel and just do the missions work just like I prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
And so many, amidst many challenges and pain, I have grown and grown in strength and grown also spiritually, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so so you've had a chance to do the work of evangelism quite a bit since you did come to the U.S., right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just mention to our listeners, if you'd like to get a chance to be in touch with Akusia or correspond in some capacity, I'm going to give you my email because we can help you to connect with her. My email, of course, is jparker@afa.net. That's jparker@afa.net, and we can see about connecting you to her. But also, I would like to challenge and encourage every single listener to pray for her. You know, Akusia, I think of this, that often believers in the U.S. think in terms of, well, missionaries may often go from America to other countries, including to Africa. Well, the fact is, by God's grace, he had you as a person from Ghana, West Africa, to come to the U.S. And for some, they say, well, does America need missionaries? America desperately needs missionaries, as well as believers that are here need to be diligently preaching the gospel, making disciples, helping to build the kingdom, because obviously the culture in America desperately needs so much more of Jesus Christ. And in every area of life, we need so much more of Jesus and his influence and his kingdom. So we praise God for missionaries like you that have come to help spread the gospel. Father, thank you, Lord, for Akusia, and thank you for other persons that are listening who are growing in their understanding of the fact that, Lord, you call every one of us in the truest sense of the word to be missionaries, to be believers who will go where you send us, missionaries who will go and carry out the work you've called us to. You've called all of us to be involved in the important work of evangelism and the important work of discipleship as well. You call us to reach out to a world where people are hurting and dying in large numbers from so many different things as well. Stir us, Lord, to be about your business of helping to share the gospel, helping people to begin to grow in their faith, to disciple them, and help us to be involved in the work of the church that compassionately reaches out to the hurting, to the disenfranchised, to persons who are left out in society in so many ways. set the church afire, afresh on fire with the spirit of compassion, a compassion for the lost and a compassion for those who are hurting, that they would feel the healing touch and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Akusi, in the last few minutes of the broadcast, was there anything else on your heart that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Yes. I wanted to share, first let me read a scripture. I just wanted to mention that, you know, even becoming a Christian does not mean that our misery or our pain or difficulties cease. However, God promises that He's going to be with us through it all. Mm-hmm. And my own walk with the Lord has really shown me that you know, that God is ever present. He's ever present in our lives when we need Him most. Mm-hmm. Even though sometimes He may not be traced, we may not feel His presence, we may not see Him, mm-hmm. but He is working. He's working things out. He's working things out. And I believe, I just want to share this also, that in the end, everything works out for His glory.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. Well, anything specifically that's on your heart to pray for listeners about that can relate to your story in any way, anything in particular that you're wanting to really lift up believers about in their lives?
Yes, I wanted to specifically pray for the hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I have experienced suffering on another level that I never even imagined existed.
Hmm.
And I would just, you know, share. I'm being open-minded about this. This is my life story, but I'm going to be open just to help somebody out there,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I found on Facebook that my husband had, I got married for those of us that didn't, get that. I didn't mention that in the beginning, but anywhere in the story, but that, you know, I found out on Facebook, that, you know, he went to Ghana to marry another woman, and the lady had displayed on her Facebook page. So, you know, I mentioned that to a friend of mine in Ghana who is also like a journalist, mm-hmm. an investigative journalist, was able to, you know, find out that the story is in fact true, mm-hmm. and contacted the lady, and she in fact knew more than I knew. She knew more about me than I knew about her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, in a message back and forth with a journalist, she, you know, confirmed that it's true. Mm-hmm. And it was very devastating, and because, you know, there's a child involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, given that I said it, I didn't grow up with my dad. And so one of the hopes was that I would raise a family, a good Christian family, where I would be there for my children, that I would not have my children experience the same pain and loss or abandonment I felt as a child. So I feel like that hurt me for my child more than it hurt my child, because he was only one at the time when the situation happened. And I have, through the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit, grown in the grace, not only being giving me the strength to raise my boy, but also the wisdom on how to even bring him, Holy Spirit, into our lives as our helper, mm-hmm. and as our guide and as my partner in raising my son. And I believe with all my heart that my child is going to grow up and not be a statistic, and he's going to grow up be like a phenomenal, you know, amazing godly man, because
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, and also in me, allowing him to come and partner with us. So I just want to pray for somebody out there that is suffering or going through something that they feel like nobody understands. You're right, nobody understands, but God does. And so I'd like to take the privilege to pray for somebody today.
Okay.
So for that woman out there, or even man, I'd like to pray for you, for your spiritual, emotional, and soul healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up anybody going through that trauma of betrayal or anything that has caused the heart to grieve. It could be a loss of a loved one, that's to death or to a sickness. We've had a very difficult year this past year, 2020, with the global pandemic. So I pray right now for healing, spirit, soul, and body for people. And I pray for healing in the will, mind, and emotions. I pray for the Holy Spirit to go to the heart of many right now that are listening, that God will just touch you. I pray for the touch of the Holy Spirit and just bring peace, the peace of God and healing, and also bring divine alignment of your spirit, your soul, and your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kusia. Thank you again for both praying, but also thank you for sharing your story. And the reality is we live in a world where people hurt from so many different situations, so many different circumstances, so many difficult journeys they've been through. But thank you for sharing your story and being willing to share the difficult journey you've been through, but how you've trusted God through it all. And so I want to mention one in the last few minutes of our broadcast, as usual, there may be someone who's listening today who knows they have never committed their life to Jesus Christ. They've never made that all-important step. And of course, the most important decision we all can make in life is the decision to ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart as Lord and Savior. Again, with all that you go through in life, the most important one is that step of receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're listening now and you know you're not saved or you're not sure, I want to invite you to pray this prayer in order to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be saved today. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned. I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong. I repent and turn from the wrong. Forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. And Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you for all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. If you just pray that prayer for the first time to receive Christ, please do email us. We'd really like to be in touch with you, like to share with you some resources that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Akusia, thank you so much again for being with us and sharing your powerful story. Thank you for taking the time to do that, okay?
Thank you for having me.
Honored to have you. Let me say again, if you're listening today and you'd like to be in touch with Akusia, if you would, email me at jparker@afa.net, and we can help make that connection. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Thank you again, Akusia. God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord wherever He calls you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for being a part of our listening family. I ask that you please pray for Akusia as she continues to serve the Lord as a missionary in the capacity He's called her. And let's continue to pray much for each other. Pray for the ministry of the Hour of Intercession. Pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. We very much desire your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.